got it.
What was it?
27. First verse.
Psalms 28.
27. Y'all got it?
127?
No, 27. Oh my goodness.
227?
There are a lot of psalms, so.
27. Actually, the
one. 2027?
You got it? Alright, let's all bow our heads. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for our opportunity, Lord, to come in your presence, Lord, and just to fellowship with your people, Lord. Just prepare ourselves for the main course, Lord, today in the sermon, Lord, and just pray for the preachers, Lord, and the musicians and song leaders, Lord. Let us all enter into your presence in one communion, Lord. Just pray for the scriptures, Lord. Pray for the teaching, Lord. Pray that you know you use gifts, Lord, and lead us and guide us in all things, Lord, as we read your word. In your precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Right. So Psalms 27, the first verse, let's just start with, the Lord is my light. Now, the definition of light in Google is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. So God is what gives us purpose in our lives, and this is the conclusion that is given to us in Ecclesiastes. If anyone knows Ecclesiastes verse 12, let me turn to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So we know that because we have light. And if you guys remember, when back when Brother Mike Altig was here, he preached on light, and he preached on there is a light and there is the light. So it's similar to sometimes how people can talk about truth, where there can be a truth, but there is the truth, and the truth is where God comes in. So a truth could be, I go to work and I get paid, and that helps me pay my bills. But the truth is that God is my provider. And that's even true for even people in the world, even sinners, because obviously he can't provide their spiritual needs, but because they won't let him into their hearts. But God created everything in the material world, so there's nothing that they have that was not provided to them by God. So God is our provider in all things. And that is the truth. A truth might be you have a job, you go to work, you work a 9-to-5. But the truth is that God is providing for you in all things. Let's see. And then it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now the definition of salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. And I just want to say, if anyone has any questions or wants to raise your hand or anything, feel free to do so. I won't mind. But the definition of salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Now, preservation, the Lord will preserve you through all the hard and difficult times in your life. And he'll keep you and he'll strengthen you. Even the after... In Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So he is the strength. He's what preserves us. Hello. And he's what will carry you through. So it's like the lyrics from that song, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. There's a verse in that song that says, I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. So I think that really testifies of the how God preserves people and keeps us and gives us an anchor in life. And that's why the scripture says, you know, he is my light and my salvation. And salvation is us being saved by, you know, the Lord and our preservation and our deliverance. And that's why we need to claim Christ's sacrifice. It'll help you through the burdens that you go through, things like that. And honestly, the song says, "I do not know how others make it through." And really, most people don't make it through. Because there's so many things like anxiety, depression, and all those things are at an all-time high. There's many troubles people go through. People lose loved ones. People have a lot of issues. There's plenty of, you know, suffering in life, and a lot of people don't make it through. They don't know. You can talk to people who don't have God in their life, and you can see that they don't have that Ecclesiastes 12:13 verse to say that this is the whole, you know, purpose of man. They don't have that, so they're constantly wondering and thinking, what's happening? Why am I here? What is my purpose here? And they don't have that purpose that, you know, we have as Christians. No, because we as Christians aren't called to be afraid or, you know, fearful. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "But we as Christians," no, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, the people in the world who don't have Christ, they don't go to Calvary. They don't have him like we do. So the Bible even says men's hearts will fail for fear. But we're not called for that. We're called to have the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. But that's what God has promised and given to us. And remember, the definition of salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. So he won't just give you strength to get you through the hard times, but he can deliver you from them and set you free, so you'll be an overcomer. And that's why, if you've ever listened to the tape, how can I overcome, with Brother Brown, he constantly talks about, you know, you have to just get in the Word and meditate and really just surround yourself with God. And, you know, even that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, for the things of this world will go slowly dim in the light of his beauty and grace." So those things, I mean, there's plenty of people who have problems, and sometimes you might have a temptation or an issue where you think, "Oh, I'll never be able to give this up. This is, you know, I want to follow God. I want to do this, but there's this one thing that just is really tough on me, and I'm really having trouble overcoming this." But I've had those things, and the more you surrender and the more you just look towards Him, like some those things that seem so hard and difficult to give up will just go away. And it's really, it's incredible to watch that in people's lives. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And light being what makes us able to see where we're going. It gives us a guide and understanding of what our purpose is. And our salvation being the thing that preserves us throughout life's toils, snares, and hardships. As well as deliver us and give us overcoming power over the world. And the scripture says, "Whom shall I fear?" Now, I think that's very powerful, because when you have the light, which is the truth and salvation, which will preserve you and deliver you, then what can stop you? Whom shall you fear? There's nothing. Once you have that in your life, which is something, you know, obviously many people are lacking, but once you have that, there's nothing that you should be afraid of. There's nothing that you should back down to. There's nothing that you should, you know, if you feel inadequate or you feel like you're not doing well enough, like all those things are going to pass away and you'll still have God. So it's like, whom shall you fear? There's no reason to fear. It's like that song says, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Whom shall you fear?" And the Bible says that many times. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? It says, what thing, Psalm 23 says, "He's my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, there's many scriptures that, there's no scripture that will ever tell you to be afraid unless it is the fear of God, which is the respect and reverence, because he will preserve and strengthen you. But if you are a child of God, there's no scripture that tells you should be afraid as a child of God, of the world or anything, or any temptations or trials or struggles or tribulation that you may go through. It says, whom shall I fear? And in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Psalms 27 verse 1 is talking about that exact same thing. And speaking of, you know, whom shall I fear? Like, God is behind me. God is with me. He won't forsake me. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to, you know, be anxious about, or, you know, we're still going to have our troubles and struggles in life, but we have him, and he's here for us, and he loves us. And I think that's a very important thing to remember throughout the Christian journey, is that God isn't doing anything, or there's nothing. Throughout everything, he loves you. He's like your parents. You know, you might not always agree with them. You might, you know, be frustrated. You might think certain things, but they do love you, and they're just trying their best. You know, so keep that in mind. And it's good to remember that there's nothing that can stand before you. There's no, you know, tests at schools, insecurities, nervousness. The Lord, just remember that the Lord is your light and your salvation. So whom shall you fear? You know, and sometimes maybe it's good to remember, if you're going through something or if you're going through a struggle or a trial, it's good to remember, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, there's a foundation within me. And there's a foundation that my parents have set, and there's a foundation in my life. Whom shall I fear? And just always remember that. And whom shall I fear? Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And verse 2 says, when the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now notice it says, when the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. It didn't say they got halfway, or they got to me, or they'd reached me and I was already, you know, I was already overtaken, and then he came, you know, fashionably late, like, you know, like a movie or something. But it says when they just came upon me to eat up my flesh with bad intent, they just came upon me with bad intentions, and they stumbled and fell. So God, even just, there's things that God will save us from that we may not even know about. Like, you know, Brother Wade and Tawis talk about, like, how sometimes we're late to church, or not late to church, but they're struggling getting in the car, or something's going on, or maybe there's traffic here, and you never know, you know, it may seem frustrating or at the time, but you never know what God could be saving you from. Maybe even things your parents tell you, maybe sometimes you feel like, oh, they just don't want to let me have fun or do anything, and, you know, I've definitely felt that way. But sometimes you realize, like, they were actually saving you from something that, you know, you couldn't see. And God is the same way, because he's our father, he's our parent as well. So he will also save you from things, you know, from bad intentions and bad influences and things that you may not realize. I think that's important to remember, that they will your enemies will stumble and fall. And another scripture, I don't have the exact verse, but, you know, any weapon that's formed against you will not prosper. And that's the same sentiment in that spirit, that you know, God protects his children, and it's good to remember that, you know, because if you're a child of God, he will protect you. And that's always good to remember. Psalm 27 verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now, an host should encamp against me. That almost sounds like someone is outnumbered. They're like, sometimes it seems like the odds are stacked against you. Sometimes it seems like there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of stress on your life. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Exactly, that's exactly right. Let me see that again. That's a good verse. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So who's that promise to? It's to the servants of the Lord. So if you're a servant of the Lord, that's to you. So that's who it's to. That's why it's good in the Bible. The Bible will address who it's talking to. You know, it may not say you're like, you should, like Brother Ben always said, you should be able to see yourself in the scriptures, but it's not going to have your name there. It's not going to be this, it's not going to be that. But when it says whosoever will, and when it says the servants of the Lord, and when it says children of God, when it says those who are born again, it's talking about you. You know, and if that's you, if you fit the requirements, you can claim those promises. It's like if someone dies and, you know, there's a will, you know, and it's being addressed to, oh, my son or the specific person, you can claim that money. Or if there's a, you go to work and they give you a check and it has your name on it, you can claim that because, you know, your name is on there. You can identify yourself because you're an employee of that company. And so that money is rightfully yours because you worked for so many hours and they have to give it to you. So it's not, you know, you don't go to, like, if there's a will or if there's like a check, you don't have to think, oh, is this for me? Is this really mine? Is this really? No, you know for sure because your name is on it. And you worked, and you know that part of the contract is that I show up, I do this, and I get paid. And that's the same thing with the promises. You know, if you fill those requirements, then you get those promises. The scripture, Isaiah 54:17, said, for the servants of the Lord. So if you're a servant of the Lord, you can claim that. And that's what's important to remember. So where was I? Verse 3. It must be, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. Now, war can be a lot of things. It can be spiritual warfare. It can be physical. It could also just be the daily things in life that, you know, we have to overcome. Just sometimes it's a struggle just to get up in the mornings. Sometimes you just want to sit down and do nothing. Sometimes you feel lazy. Sometimes you feel sluggish. Sometimes it's that person at work being mean to you. There's sometimes that person at school. Sometimes it's maybe someone in church. Maybe said something that you didn't like, but or maybe hurt your feelings. But there's all types of war and conflict everywhere we go in this world. But the scripture says, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So even when there are these troubles and struggles in life, you can be confident in God, you know, not in yourself, not in whatever, you know, there's plenty of advice people would try to give, or, you know, and there can be good advice, but the only thing you can truly always be confident in is the Word of God. And in this will I be confident. You know, that's why he's confident. He's not confident because in war I trained, or in war, you know, I prepared myself, which is good to prepare yourself, but, you know, anything can happen. The only thing you can really be confident in is that, you know, God is with you and he won't forsake you. And that's why he's saying he's confident. That's why the previous verse said they stumbled and fell. And it's not because of anything that, you know, David did, but it's because he knows his God works miracles, and he knows who's behind him. That's the thing about David. When he fought Goliath and all those things, he knew it wasn't him. He denied the armor from Saul, denied, you know, plenty of things, but it was he knew he was behind him. He just had to sling 5 stones, but he knew who was behind him. With the bear and the lion that he slayed, he knew who was behind him. He knew he was, you know, he's just a man. Like, I don't think any of us want to fight a bear or a lion, or any of us are capable of that. But if we know who's behind us and we have that anointing, then in this will I be confident, is what the scripture says. Okay, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I think that's a big part of being a Christian, because it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, And that one thing that he desired of the Lord was that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That comes back to, do you enjoy being in church? Do you enjoy coming to church? Do you enjoy reading your Bible? Do you, listen to tapes and sermons? Do you really enjoy dwelling in the house of the Lord? One thing have I desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. And that is something that we as Christians should desire. You know, it shouldn't be a fight to come to church. In all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, inquire, I think the word inquire suggests that, you know, we're inquisitive, that we ask questions, that we want to learn more. And with that desire, you'll be reading more, you'll be studying more. And do you really desire to understand the Word of God? And understand, like, just to want to know. And do you maybe ask brothers questions sometimes when you don't understand something? Or do you... Let me find a scripture here. If I can find it. I don't think I can find it right now, but there's scriptures in Proverbs that talk about understanding and how understanding, there's power in understanding. And those things would, once again, preserve you, like the same way salvation will. And if you truly desire to seek the things of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the scripture says. So that's really important. Constantly be seeking and reading, and sometimes it may feel like a chore, but I can tell you personally that I've never sat down to read my Bible and regretted it. I've never sat down. Sometimes you may think, oh, well, I don't have enough time, and well, there's this and there's that, but I've never once sat down to read my Bible and then after, had regrets or thought, oh, I wasted time, or I could have, there was never a time where that happened to me. Every time I sat down and read my Bible, afterwards, I was glad I did it, So I would encourage you to do that just on your own time, just to inquire in his temple and be inquisitive and ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask, any of the ministers or brothers questions. If you want to ask me questions after this, we may not have all the answers, but whether or not, I believe God will give you an answer, because if you inquire in his temple, and that is the one, like the scripture says, one thing have I desired. If that is one thing you have desired, I believe he will answer that, because he tends to our needs, and he's a good father. So it's about 10:04, 10:05, I think I'll end it there. So you are all dismissed.